This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. If you have just joined us, it is now 25 to 7. And the second leg of our conversation, as I've promised you earlier, I'm now joined by Mr. Thembisa Faguda, who is the head of English unit at Al Jazeera Center for Studies. And he'll be taking, you know, we'll be talking about the changing political landscape which underpins the tensions between South Africa, Rwanda, as well as the US. As we all know, these are issues that the president is likely to address, or to at least talk about, at the State of the Nation address this coming Thursday. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Faguda. Mr. Faguda, are you with us? Well, we seem to have real issues.
Yes, I'm here. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear, sir. Thank you very much for coming through. Let's hope the technology will not disappoint. I'm looking forward to have your insights on very pertinent issues. As you know, the government, the president is will be addressing, citizens on Thursday. Just your overview of what to expect in the context of changing, geopolitical issues. We have picked up on Rwanda, we've picked up on the U.S., and we've picked up on issues such as Brexit. Your overall view on what to expect from that perspective?
I think the president will concentrate more on his effort to revive the economy. Employment is still an issue in this country. Today we had the tweets, from a couple of days ago, we've been hearing tweets from Donald Trump on what he intends doing. So that, I think, although I don't think it's going to be pronounced, but he's likely to include or touch on it. And the other issue, which I think is going to be important, is the geopolitical realities. But I think this is the situation.
We seem to have difficulties connecting with Mr. Faguda. If you could just try and move around, because the reception is not great on our side. If you have just joined us, I am in conversation with Mr. Thembisa Faguda, who is the head of English unit at Al Jazeera Center for Studies. Craig, just establish if we are in a better connection now, so that we're able to hear him loud and clear. Can you proceed, Mr. Faguda?
How's the connection now?
Much better. It's much better. Thank you, sir. Proceed. We can proceed.
Yes, I was saying that the president is likely to concentrate on domestic issues and not the current issues of international relations, which I doubt if it's going to feature that prominent in his speech. Basically, he has to tell us more about the state of the nation. But I think what dampened the speech is the renewed load shedding, which I think to an extent is going to be have an effect on the president's speech, because I think that would have been one of the highlights in his speech, that he has somehow managed to have the country navigate the challenges of load shedding. But we see over the weekend that load shedding is once again being resuscitated.
I think that's definitely something that would keep him up at night. But we maybe just a quick reflection. The president has always been criticized as someone who isn't decisive. But over the past 3 months or so, we've seen him signing the National Health Bill. We've seen him signing the Bella Act. We have now seen him signing the expropriation of land without compensation accordingly. To what extent does these suggest a different posture of the president? At some point, he lost his pen. What does it say? Is he trying to galvanize a better PR based on his negative publicity over the past couple of months? What do you make of him doing what he has done over the past 3 months or so?
I think he's now working on his legacy. This is his last term, and the time is moving quite swiftly. And these are three very important policy documents or policies and laws that were supposed to be enacted in South Africa, and he has no time but to do it now. And you know, interestingly, that the people who are supposed to implement these enactments are all coming from the opposition. In other words, the DA. And I think they were not too happy that they were caught in a situation where, when they accepted the positions within the JNU, they didn't expect that they would be the ones who were going to be expected to be implementing certain decisions that are controversial, particularly the Bela Act and the Land Expropriation Act.
Absolutely. I think you've raised a very interesting perspective that the likes of the DA did not expect to be implementing, but we all know that they are obviously taking some of the provisions to court. But let's quickly go to an ad break, Rebecca. And when we come back, I want us to share your thoughts with us in terms of where to from now, now that the Bela Bill is obviously is an act, expropriation of land is now an act, as well as other major pieces of legislation that the president did not but finally signed. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. It is now 19 minutes to 7 o'clock, and this is the second leg of our conversation. I'm joined by Thembisa Fakude, who is the head of English Unit at Al Jazeera Center for Studies, and we are getting his perspective in terms of what to expect in the SONA. We all aware that the president will be addressing the nation on Thursday, and according to Mr. Fakude here, the president is likely to focus on domestic issues as opposed to in a foreign or international consideration. And you know, to his point, the president obviously, you know, would have loved to continue energy makes all constant and reliable supply of electricity. But over the past couple of days, depending where you are in the country, people have been experiencing load shedding. And obviously that is an issue. We also went to discuss very briefly key legislation which the president had to sign, of which, according to Mr. Fakude, that those are a legacy project, if you like. One, we're talking about Land Expropriation Act. We're talking about National Health Act. We're also talking about the Basic Education Amendment Act. So these are obviously big ticket items, of which are likely to be driven by the DA as part of the Government of National Unity, because they sit they have cabinet position. Steyn, obviously, as a Minister of Agriculture, he's going to have to implement whether he likes it or not. But again, those are some of the issues that we have to talk about. You made a very interesting observation by saying DA did not expect, but we all know that they're going to, some of these issues will take into court and they might take a while and for them to be implemented. Why do you say that?
Well, I don't think they're going to be taken to court. Even if they do take them to court, the horse has bolted in terms of opposing this. They have to implement them. These were discussions that took place long before the Government of National Unity. And I think any challenge to these kind of things is likely to disturb the business of government. And I think they will be very wary of not doing that. And by the way, notwithstanding that the ANC managed to form this coalition government, but they're not desperate. And we've seen the overtures and indications from political parties such as the EFF that they actually are willing and interested in joining the ANC. So there is that threat now that notwithstanding that there has been indications that there is some desperation of some sort in forming this government, but actually there are other government parties that are willing to, or political parties that will be willing to form some sort of alliance with the ANC and to continue the Government of National Unity.
But that move, one has to ask, you know, should the EFF join the ANC and form an alliance? You know, the markets are likely to respond in a hostile way, and already, you know, picked up from the US that you know, the land expropriation is not seen in a positive light. And they, what more when you have a far left party such as EFF being party to a coalition that could potentially spell a disaster for ordinary South Africans who are languishing in poverty. We've got the highest unemployment rate in the country, you know, and we've got the highest inequality in the world, so to speak. So, to what extent do you think the ANC will navigate that particular space? Because yes, forming a coalition government with a far left such as EFF, it's easy, but the economic ramifications are likely to be very costly.
Well, I had the same feeling for a while, but given the unstable nature of politics, especially what has happened with Donald Trump, I don't think anything is impossible at the moment. I would like to see the current GNU continuing, but there are so many other interventions that might just or are threatening the current government of national unity. Number one is we don't know whether President Cyril Ramaphosa will finish his tenure as a president. And you know that there are forces within the ANC that are anti-GNU and would like to see the ANC forming some sort of alliances with the so-called progressive forces within the political spectrum in South Africa. So that's a reality, and it could just happen. Number two is the ANC has got no choice at the moment, because if you look at these acts that have been enacted over the past couple of days, they actually are speaking to its constituency. And I don't see them backing off from what they've been pushing or what has been informed by the conference of the ANC to say that land expropriation of land without compensation is something that's supposed to be enacted and pushed in at least this tenure of President Cyril Ramaphosa. Number two, that Bela Act was also very important. But I think what is even much more important, you know that over the weekend there are talks, for example, that President Cyril Ramaphosa went on to read the Riot Act and ordered the reconfiguration of KZN and Gauteng. But other people are saying, what about you? And it's under you that the ANC has lost support. Yes, you've got provinces that have lost support, but you're also supposed to face the music. And those noises are getting amplified within the ANC. So we can't for sure, notwithstanding our preferences in terms of this of the government of national unity, but you might just see other forces with the ANC taking power, and for them to survive and remain relevant within their constituencies, they might just form alliances with those that agree with them. So the DA is very important, and I do agree with you that they've brought in some kind of economic and political stability, but given the survival nature and the survivalist nature of many of the ANC members at the moment on the back foot, I'll argue that there is a possibility that they might just form alliances with organizations such as the EFF.
Yeah, if you've just joined us, we're having a very interesting conversation with Mr. Thembisa Fakute, and obviously he's sharing his perspective in terms of what to expect in the context of the State of the Nation address. We all know this is the very first address by the president under the GNU. And earlier on, I had a conversation with Davi. He says, look, this GNU is not really a GNU. It's more like a coalition as opposed to what Nelson Mandela had, just post-1994. So the reality is that political parties that are represented in the GNU are tussling for power. And very interesting proposition that you've shared with us that, you know, the president is likely not or may not complete his tenure, and by the way, this is not the precedent has been set in the ANC setup. We've seen Jacob Zuma did not complete his tenure, Thabo Mbeki also did not complete his tenure. So Cyril Ramaphosa may not, given the kind of firefighting that he's actually going through. But having said that, one of the biggest issue that president has been criticized with, whether this matter will find expression in the SONA or not, perhaps maybe we can just park it. How is South Africa being perceived in peacekeeping mission in Rwanda? Because Paul Kagame has already fired a shot that South Africa must back off. And obviously South Africa plays such an important role, but not only South Africa, but other African countries, because we often carry ourselves as big brothers and treat other fellow South African, other fellow country members as of this world, I beg your pardon. Your take on that?
Well, I think President Cyril Ramaphosa has got a responsibility. His responsibility is to ensure, number one, that he reads the riot acts to Paul Kagame. Paul Kagame has been involved in a number of shenanigans in Africa. Not only has he been supporting, now we know, and he has agreed or admitted to the fact that they're supporting M23, and he correctly puts it that M23 is a DRC or Congolese movement. Now, why are you getting involved in the Congolese business? Number two is he's also agreed that he serves certain interests and his involvement in Cabo Delgado and in the Congo does suggest that he wants to flex his muscles. It does suggest that he sees himself as a powerhouse, particularly from the East Africa. Now, South Africa has got no choice. Yes, we do embrace a foreign policy that encourages conflict resolutions, but I'm of the view that if Cyril Ramaphosa this time around, if he doesn't take a firm position against Paul Kagame, we're likely to see Paul Kagame not only continuing with his shenanigans in the DRC, but in other neighboring countries. And I think the support that has been given to President Cyril Ramaphosa by SADC over the weekend, interestingly, of course, it was chaired by Emmerson Mnangagwa, the same fellow who also had a problem with Paul Kagame. And there's been now a closing of ranks, at least from South African development community, South African development community, that the situation in Congo deserves attention, but importantly, there must be a pushback in terms of agreeing to the ceasefire, etc. So you are going to find Paul Kagame on the back foot. But again, that's also part of a conflict resolution. It doesn't mean that it must only be peaceful means, in inverted commas, that achieves some sort of peace. Sometimes hard talk, sometimes strong positions by governments can achieve peace. And I think what we need at the moment in Rwanda, not in Rwanda, but in the DRC, you need a firm commitment that the terrorists under the banner of M23 are not going to succeed in what they're trying to do. And the leaders of the Southern African community, including the East African community, must show that resolve. And the person who's currently supporting all of the shenanigans and destabilization is Paul Kagame. And Paul Kagame, I do believe that they're going to deal with him quite sternly, as Zimbabwe did. But of course, Cyril Ramaphosa, is like a Bedford truck. It takes too long to take off. And I think this time around, however, the embarrassment out of those tweets that were sent by Paul Kagame in the middle of the night has put him on the back foot. And he has to reassure South Africans that is the leader, and that leader is going to take a strong position against Paul Kagame.
Well, thank you very much for that insight. We're going to take a last more break. And once we, when we come back, we'll just wrap up this very interesting, thoughts that you've shared with us. Craig, let's take a break. We'll be back.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dembele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is pretty much the last session of our show. We are about 3 to 4 minutes before we conclude. If you've just joined us, I'm having a conversation with Thembisa Fakude, who is the head of English Unit at Al Jazeera Center for Studies. And Thembisa is giving us his perspective in terms of what to expect from SONA. As we all aware, the president will be addressing the nation on Thursday. So under a different environment altogether, and not I don't even think the NC thought they would form a coalition, even though they've defined it as a government of national unity. When you look at the real fact, this is a coalition between the two biggest parties. But Mr. Temiso, one of the issues that perhaps maybe you could share your thought with us is that, look, you said the president has obviously is flexing his muscle in terms of those three big legislation that is done. And before we went to the break, you obviously expressed that the president, yet again, his leadership and his decisiveness from a character point of view has been called into question by Paul Kagame, who is supporting the rebels going under the banner of M23. So you reckon the president will perhaps maybe raise this particular issue, and the kind of support that he's getting from SADC, particularly from Zimbabwe, is likely to reinforce his legitimacy as a country that is pushing forward and bringing stability in the DRC. Your final shot on that?
Can you just repeat that question, please? I didn't get the last part of your question. I had the whole introduction, but not the last part.
Well, the last part is, and how confident are you that, the SADC will close rank and president is going to be more decisive this time around by reading the right act and perhaps maybe challenging Paul Kagame, and perhaps maybe, not challenging, but reading the right act, perhaps is the right word, and extent to which Paul may accept or heed to his call, because this issue requires sober minds, and I don't think South Africa wants to have a fight in Rwanda, because so far, when you listen to other political commentary around this particular issue, we are on the back foot and we're likely to lose, irrespective of whether we are right or wrong. But the strategy just is not working because we're likely to have more and more casualties. So, which means we need to refine the approach so that we save as many people as possible while maintaining peace in DRC.
Yeah, okay. First of all, let me just correct. Yes, I was part of the Al Jazeera, but now I'm a senior research fellow at Africa Asia Dialogues, which is based in South Africa. To answer your question, I think if you look at the communique that was issued by SADC, it's quite clear on what they expect Paul Kagame to be doing. He's been condemned not only by SADC, but also France, United States, and other powers that be has condemned Paul Kagame for supporting M23, which is a terrorist organization. But for me, what is even more troubling is this tribalist posture that is taken. I mean, the reason that has been given is that there are Tutsis who are in the DRC and who are threatened. And as a result, he supports whatever efforts in the Congo, which seek to protect the Tutsis. That's extremely dangerous in international politics. Imagine if the Baswatis or the Basutu decide to come to South Africa because they feel somehow that the Basutu-speaking people of South Africa or Siswati-speaking people of South Africa are threatened by South Africa. It's exactly the same position that was taken by Vladimir Putin in Ukraine. That's the reason that we were given. That he went to Ukraine because he felt that the Russian-speaking people of Ukraine were, to an extent, in trouble. But what I think is even more dangerous, we know now for sure that the M23 has been using very highly sophisticated weaponry, including some of the technical support and technology in fighting this war. And we are told that this is similar to what the Israeli Defense Force has been using in Israel, and it's similar to what the U.S. Special Forces have been using. So you see now other external stakeholders, particularly those who've got an axe to grind with South Africa. Case in point, tweet of Donald Trump did not just come from nowhere.
Absolutely.
Paul Kagame is now aligning himself with other forces and the forces that have got an axe to grind with South Africa, particularly Israel.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. It has been absolutely beautiful. Thanks for sharing your thought with us on this very controversial and a very important issue, which the president is likely to address address in his State of the Nation address. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That was Thembisa Fakute, who is no longer with Al Jazeera Center for Studies, but who is now with Africa Dialogue, giving us his perspective on what to expect from the president at the State of Nation address. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be late. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. We're going to have to leave it here. Have yourself a fantastic evening. Be safe. Craig, thank you once again for pressing all the right buttons. Betsy, thank you once again for also for coordinating this interesting thought leaders that have shared their time and perspective with the rest of the world. And let's do this again next week. It has been absolutely beautiful. Shalom.